must be very careful. The word, writes Robert Jensen, is not what Jesus says, but Jesus is what God says. In the fullness of time, God said Jesus. Or as John put the matter, the word became flesh and pitched its tent among us, full of grace and truth. But here we begin to go into some deep waters. Here you might want to strap on your seatbelt. Here it's Barbara Fraser's fault. From the Bible study this Wednesday. What of the word before the fullness of time came? What did John mean that the word was in the beginning and was with God and was God? If we were to read John's prologue in Greek, which I am no more capable of doing than you are, I think the only one in this room capable of that might be sitting right over here, we would notice that the word John uses for a word, oh, you would know Greek? Yes? Would you know Greek? No? Yes? Barbara knows Greek, too. Okay. We would notice that the word John uses for a word, capital W, is love. was going to promise me understanding. You get the God you have, she said, quoting from Bill Moyers' series on the book of Genesis, not the God you want. In the fullness of time, God said Jesus. Said the word that was in the beginning, who now comes to us from out of God's future, and in whom we glimpse God's promise that order will finally win out over chaos, light over darkness, hope over despair, and life over death. The implication of John's prologue, according to Scottish theologian Alan Torrance, is that when God says Jesus, in Jesus we hear and glimpse the redemptive word of God, effecting even now this reconciliation between God and all of creation with God. Let me say this one more way before I drop this first point. Incarnation, God becoming flesh in the fullness of time, God saying Jesus, incarnation corresponds in the life of God to creation. When God says Jesus, God once more acts and speaks as creator. But now, says Karl Barth, not as the creator out of nothing, rather God enters the field and creates within creation new creation, a new beginning. In the continuity of human history, a point becomes visible at which God himself hastens to the creature's aid and becomes one with us. Therefore, God said in the beginning, let there be, and spoke us into being. God said in the fullness of time, Jesus, God with us, and we glimpsed the new heaven and the new earth from the Isaiah passage, from the psalm we sang. We glimpsed the new heaven and the new earth from out of God's future, where there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither will there be any more pain. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, one. A second way to wrestle with what John is telling us in the beginning is a bit more edgy. Here's where Barbara comes in, especially on the floor of Presbytery. If the Logos of God, the Word of God, is God's speech, God's address, inquiring minds cannot help but wonder if the Word in the beginning is limited to the Jesus of history. Put another way, was the Word that was in the beginning silent until God said Jesus? Or from the beginning has God spoken? God manifested himself, God made herself known throughout time and in various ways to people utterly unacquainted with Jesus. You begin to see the edge. A safe answer on the floor of Presbytery is to be found in the book that some of us have been studying this year. At the beginning of the sermon that is the book of Hebrews, the preacher says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these latter days, God has spoken to us by a son. Open the Bible to about any page of the Old Testament, and you will read, thus says the Lord. From Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and Samuel, through the first historical characters in Scripture ruling Israel and Judah, God spoke words that promised, commanded, rebuked, instructed, comforted. In question used to debate in the dorm room? Well, I did, which of course said I had no life. That, you know, like if people in the deepest, darkest jungles of someplace never heard of Jesus, would they be saved? It's kind of that same question. Well, for some of the early church fathers, as well as a growing number of Christian theologians today, John opens the way to an incredible dialogue about the universal cosmic work of the Logos of God, the Word of God that was in the beginning, was with God, was God. To wit, the Jesuit theologian Jacques Dubois asks, I don't believe I'm saying this in the pulpit, but anyway, did the eternal Logos, so did the Word that was from the beginning eternally, which means all time, did that Word manifest himself to all human beings? Or was knowledge of him confined to the Judeo-Christian tradition? Did people before and outside this tradition partake of him, or did only those who received him when he came into the world? You begin to see why I don't want to talk about this on the floor of Presbytery. When John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, was the Word he had in mind identical with, but not limited to, the Word that became flesh, named Jesus? It was the earliest church fathers who were led by what God said in Jesus to speak themselves about cosmic Christ. Taking his cue from John's Gospel, where Jesus says, "No one knows the Father save the Son, and those to whom the Son has revealed him." Irenaeus writes, "The word 'has revealed' was not spoken referring only to the future, as though the Word began to make the Father manifest only when he was born of Mary. But the Word is present in every moment of time. For from the beginning, the Son, present to the creatures whom he has formed, reveals the Father to all those to whom the Father wills, and at the time and in the way God wills." For Irenaeus, the Word that became flesh in the fullness of time was not the exclusive Word of God spoken to those who sign on to the visible Christian church or stand within an Orthodox Christian confession. Rather, Jesus is called the Christ because in him his followers heard the Word God had spoken to all creation from the beginning of time, and continues to speak at every point in time. Well, finally, though not exhaustively, there is a third and most mysterious claim about the meaning of the Word that was in the beginning and was with God and was God. The Word, says Robert Jensen, was a Word God spoke to himself. The Word was a Word God spoke to himself. What the Father says to generate the conversation that is God's being, eternal being, is, "I am the Father of the one who..." with the ellipsis filled in from what Jesus said and did and underwent. Now, the implication of that, which I don't know how anybody knows this, but they read the scriptures and they begin to think about the inner life of God. And I promise you, I get as lost in this as you're lost right now in this sermon. But the point, if we can kind of step back from it for just a moment, the point is that the being of God is a conversation. A conversation. And that the Word spoken in the beginning was determined from the beginning to be spoken in the fullness of time and spoken in such a way that you to us. From out of the future, God promised us in him to be with us and for us, to be our only comfort in life and in death. John's prologue contends that God decided this. God spoke to himself, not on some starry, starry night 2,000 years ago, but before the foundation of the world. God chose us and destined us in the Son, in love, to be included in the conversation that is God. Now, what does any of this have to do with Christmas? Celebration of Christmas. Well, I find myself wanting to wish you a cosmic Christmas. Because what it does is make the event of Christmas cosmic. For if, according to John, let me reiterate, what God said has become hearable by people in all times and in all places, and the Word become flesh, then the Word spoken in the first place from the beginning of creation to the end is the Word we glimpse in the one who is alive right now and with us, reconciling the world to God. And in the second place, when God sent Jesus in the fullness of time, God's Word was heard at every point in time by those willed to hear, and according to a not according to a particular religion or creed or system of a belief, but willed by the God who chooses to be known. And in the third place, the one we behold in the manger is none other than the Word that God has said to God, made flesh, in whom we are invited to join the conversation. For here and now, the Word which is implicit in the beginning and in the end, writes W.H. Auden, is become immediately explicit. And that which heretofore